Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I've got an awesome, awesome show ahead of you. But before we get into that, I'm going to introduce my special guest. I'll have another special guest joining us later, and we'll get into that in a second. But please welcome Stro. How you doing, Stro?
Oh, great to be here.
Yeah.
I'm excited tonight. Yeah.
I'm excited too, man. I really can't wait to discuss this film. We'll have a lot to discuss, and I can't wait for us to do the rating too, because this is not your typical indie film, in my opinion. And so the movie that we're going to be discussing is the 1996 film, or maybe it's 95. It's one of those times, 95, 96. Maybe it was made in 95, but I think it's in 96. Movie Redline, which stars like Chad McQueen and a bunch of other people. We'll get into that too. And I really, really, really can't wait. Our special guest that will be joining us later is Dale Nyhaus, who fortunately right now is running a little bit late, but we said we would start it, you know, without him. He actually asked us to, you know, otherwise we would have just waited a little bit longer, right? Right, Stro?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good like that.
Yeah, but if he wants us to start with Adam, we'll start right now, and then he can join us, and maybe it'll go a little longer than the hour or whatever that we normally do. If you're cool with that, you know, Stro.
Oh, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah. All right.
Great to be here.
Yeah. And so, all right, everybody. But before we get into all that, listen to some mood music. And we're back. All right. So Stro and I watched this movie individually, and I showed it to him. I found it on YouTube, and to kind of give a little backstory to that, was I was looking for, I believe it was Corey Feldman movies that I wanted to watch. I was just in a Corey Feldman mood. You know, some days you get into that. And so I saw on IMDb at a movie called Redline in 1996. And I was like, never heard of that movie. So I went to, like, it says on IMDb, like, whether or not it's on streaming channels or not. And it popped up as like not available, only available on like Amazon, which like DVD or VHS. And so I was like, all right, I'll check out the, I'll go on YouTube and see if they have a copy of it. And sure enough, they did. And that is the version that we ended up watching. And it was, I mean, it was the full version, I'm pretty sure. And it was pretty, I mean, when I first watched it, I was like, what is this movie? I'm like, why have I never heard of this? You know what I mean? Right. And even you said that, Stro, when we first started talking, you said like, you're very shocked that you never, that it, like escaped you. Right.
Absolutely. I still can't believe it. I mean, what a, especially with the cast. I mean, I was so like popping every time I saw a familiar face in this film.
So it shows. Okay. So yeah. So what? Like we'll get into. I guess we can get into a little familiar faces, and then I'm actually gonna have some stories to tell you, because I just chatted with one of the writers last night. Paul and I did for Indie Film Cafe Spotlight, which you guys can watch if you go to YouTube. And Rolf Konevsky, and he actually talked about Redline a little bit and stuff. So I have some interesting information. But first we got Chad McQueen. Who were you familiar with Chad at all?
I believe some of his stuff, yeah.
So you were familiar with who he was. So he had, like, I had known him from being Dutch in Karate Kid. You know,
right, yeah.
He was one of the lead Cobra Kai guys. And interestingly enough, he was supposed, they wanted him to come back with all the other Cobra guys, but he's retired from acting, you know, and so he didn't come back for that. But he, what is it? He didn't come back, and they said like he was in prison or something.
Oh wow!
You know, like his character. You know, like his character is so bad, like such a bad boy. I guess he was in prison still.
Oh yeah.
You know, which I'm hoping that one day they bring him back, like for another season. Like maybe they offer him a good amount of money that he can't refuse, and he's like, "All right, I'll come back to acting."
Yeah, me too.
His father is probably one of your favorite actors, I think. Do you know?
Yeah, he sure is. Yeah.
I had a feeling because like you seem like a Steve McQueen kind of guy.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, big fan.
Yeah. Did you ever see Bullet?
Yes.
Yes.
Classic. Classic.
Great Escape, you know?
Mm-hmm. Great Escape.
Yeah, some great movies. But so his father, you know, and he was trying to follow. I could tell in this movie he was trying to follow his daddy's footsteps, you know, and get it.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty obvious. Yeah.
He had told Rolf Kinevsky that he didn't want much dialogue, you know, which made the weird, like, made the banter between him and the girl a little awkward, you know,
right,
and stuff. So, I don't know. So anyway, we ended up, Chad McQueen's in that. Then, the main villain guy is J.M. Michael Vincent, who you had said right before, hand that he was, well, it was, he was sort of the villain, you know, I guess he's one of the villains. There's two mob bosses. He's the first mob boss that he meets, and we'll get into the story in a little bit. But, so there's, J.M. Michael Vincent, who you said you were shocked because he doesn't normally play a villain much.
Right. You don't see much of him as the antagonist in the film, right?
What did you think of him as the villain?
I thought he did a superb job.
Really? I really did. You liked him?
Yeah, well, he's such a great actor anyway. So, I mean, he fit the role well.
You know the scar that he has in the movie? That's real.
Oh, wow.
He had actually got into a car accident right before filming, and so they just wrote it into the script.
Oh, wow. That's wild.
Right? That's crazy. Yeah. But it looked real because it was real.
Yes.
Very good. Didn't even need makeup, you know?
Right.
And then there was the girl in it. I was not aware of who she was, the main girl in it. That was with them was Roxanne Zal, but she's been in a lot of stuff. I mean, she was in The River's Edge, Broken Vessel, Testament, Something About Amelia. So she had been in a bunch of stuff. And she did nudity in the movie, which I was shocked about because for some reason I just didn't see her as the type that, like, her character was or whatever. I just didn't see her as being, you know, I thought her character would not do that, or act, you know, the actor would not do that, but she did. So let's see. Then there's your buddy Dom DeLuise was in it.
Oh yeah, I love Dom, man. I saw Dom DeLuise, I was hooked.
You were hooked from the second you saw him. You're like, okay, I'm watching. Yes. Like, I'm gonna enjoy this movie. I mean, he brought a level of like comedy to it that it needed at that time, because like you look at Chad McQueen's character is very serious. Then you look at Dom DeLuise, and he's just goofy and silly and fun, and just it was cute. Like their banter between each other was hilarious.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. Great chemistry.
Yeah, definitely. And then let's see who else was in it. Well, obviously Michael Madsen, who,
oh man,
did you want a banana after watching that? Apparently there was more stuff with the banana that he improvised that didn't make it into the movie.
Oh man.
It would make no sense. Like, why would he be talking about a banana? But you know, apparently that's what Michael Madsen wanted to talk about a lot. That's another thing I learned. I learned a lot from Rolf, which you'll hear a lot of if you guys check out that video. So Michael Madsen and his banana. Corey Feldman, as we mentioned earlier, he was Tony, which was the brother of Michael Madsen's character, and he was fucking Julie Strain, you know, in the movie.
That's how it got introduced in the film.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. He was like, I want to be in that scene, you know. Oh Lord, it's so funny. And then there was, oh man, Robert Zadar is in the movie.
Yeah, Maniac Cop.
Yes. It's so strange. Like, okay, so in the '80s he was Maniac Cop, right? He had such a big name and presence. And then all of a sudden in all these 90s movies, I see him as like the villains, like henchmen and stuff.
Right.
You know? He never really...
I just saw him in Tango and Cash the other night.
Oh, but he was a villain kind of character.
Yes, right? Yes. You know? Same. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but it was kind of like a henchman, right? Like, if I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, that's what he played a lot. And I don't know why he didn't have like a bigger, I mean, I know he wasn't going to be like a, you know, I guess it's just his look, you know, he did not have the greatest look to him, you know. It's
that jaw, man. You can't miss that jaw.
Jaw's huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sadly, at the end of his life, he was not looking really, really good at all. I think he had like some strokes or something. And he was looking pretty bad. But in the 90s, he was straight Robert Zadar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Chuck Zito, who it said it was his.
Yeah.
Introducing him, but he or something. I thought I saw it say introducing Chuck Zito, or it was or something.
His name was Dick in the film.
Yeah, his name was Dick, and he acted like one. That was his disposition, is what she said. So I love that guy. That guy was so great. And we'll get into more of that stuff with them. And I also want to mention my favorite other character in the movie. The tow truck driver at the end. Somebody
called truck.
Joe Estevez comes out.
Estevez, yes.
Yes. So
he was great.
We're gonna have so this is the first time, but we're gonna have more movies with Joe Estevez. And we're gonna have more movies with Robert Zadar on Indie Film Cafe this year. Like there's more. Yeah. You know,
that's awesome.
We did a lot. We've done a lot already and of episodes, and you know, already have a bunch, you know, there. I can't wait for you guys to hear some of those. So anyway, let's go on to the actual storyline of the movie. So let's begin in the beginning. Is we start out with Chad McQueen is he works at a body shop, right? Like that's you know, and he's just fixing up cars. And when he's fixing up the cars, he's working with Dom DeLuise. And in the beginning of the movie, you see him, he's like robbing places, stores and stuff, you know, just, but he's testing out cars. Like that's what he does. He tests out the cars, he drives them. He, you know, he goes, robs places, comes back so that it doesn't get traced to him, you know. And then he goes and brings cars back or whatever. So Dom DeLuise is like, oh, where have you been? You've been taking a 2.5-hour lunch break, you know. You should be blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we got these guys, you know, who need the car done. And he's kind of giving the guy's lip, right, in a way. But I don't think he's being that rude. You know, he's telling them up front, like, you know, I can't do this. Like, you know, if you want it done right, it's going to take a while, you know.
Right.
Right. If you want it done sloppy, you know, I can give it to you tomorrow or tonight, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, so I don't know if he really said that because he really wanted, you know, like he was being honest, or if he said that because he was planning, because later he goes and robs the store. So he was like, oh, if I keep it overnight, I can go rob that store, you know, test drive it and see, you know. So anyway, they spy on him robbing a convenience store, and they're like, all right, well, let's get, and they're testing out the bulletproof car, right? And I thought that was pretty cool, you know.
Yeah.
So he gets a job offer from J. Michael Vincent's character. And the job offer is to basically heist cars, you know, because he's pretty good at that. He's pretty good at stealing cars and everything. And they have him bring their car, and they tell him, basically, if you hijack this car, you know, come back with, you know, and come back with it, you get $4,000. Right. So he has to go break into their like competition, which is Michael Madsen's house, and steal the car. And that's where they meet, where he sees the brother fucking the girlfriend or wife or whatever. I think it was wife, and Julie Strain in the garage where there's no cameras. Right. And she accidentally leaves her panties in the car,
right?
On the hood of the car, or in the car somehow, or whatever. So, yeah, like they got stuck somewhere, and so he finds the panties because he goes to take it detailed, gets it like washed and stuff, and the girl that's there washing it starts kind of chatting with them, right? And so they have a little thing, and then her boyfriend, played by
Chuxedo.
Chuxedo Dick. That's his name. grabs him and you know, takes her away and says to the, you know, like, what are you looking at? You know, kind of thing to him. Being a dick to Chad McQueen. And Chad McQueen's so cool. I'm sorry. He does remind me a lot of his dad, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, so much. And he's like, yeah. I think he really wanted, like, this was his bullet, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, this is what I felt like. He wanted this to be his bullet. He wanted this to be the movie that got him known for being the cool, suave, you know, action guy, you know? Mm-hmm. And sadly, it didn't work because, like, nobody I know has ever seen this movie, you know? And that's kind of sad, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you didn't know about it. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Dale, no clue.
Dale had never heard about it. By the way, what I've decided, if Dale isn't able to join us, what I may have him do is come in for like a 10-minute discussion, like later, you know, or so, kind of like an after talk, you know. That way we can get our third score from it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if he can't make it tonight, you know, at least I have you here with me to chat with. You know, chat about it and everything, and then we'll have all three and we'll have a score, you know.
Awesome.
But anywho, so to go back to it, so yeah, you had never heard of it, and this was the movie that I feel like was trying to be that way for Chad, and it was kind of cool. It was a cool, fun story. So he delivers the first Porsche, was that the first one? It was a Porsche,
I think. So
because the second one was a Corvette,
right? And
so the first one was like a Porsche, delivers that car, and I'm really bad with cars. I am not a car guy, which so I first of all, I'm not a car guy, and I don't normally care for car chases, you know, movies, you know. And
yeah, so, remember that white Mustang he was driving in the beginning of the film?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was never, see, I would never know that was a Mustang. You know, I remember the white car he was driving in the beginning of the movie. But like, are you a car person?
Fair, you know.
You sort of know about them, right?
Yeah, pretty average, yeah.
Okay, well, so I'm not familiar with any of this shit. But, you know, anywho, I kind of basically get I got hooked on this movie, like you said before, like Dom DeLuise hooked you. This movie got me hooked with a lot of the car stuff. Like, I'm not into them. I don't like Fast and Furious. I don't like any of this stuff. But this movie actually, there's only a few car movies that I actually like that are independent. You know, and I think I like them better when they're independent, because you can't, you know, when you have so much money, you can do like almost anything with a, you know,
right.
With the car movie. But this was just, this was cool. So anyway, so he basically takes the car back and he said, they say, okay, well, we got another job for you. $20,000 if you can steal this Corvette or something or whatever it was, like the car. And he was like, sure. So he goes in there and he goes to this impound area where the car is, and he ends up finding this guy's being like an asshole in front of his girlfriend, right, saying he wants his car back, blah blah blah, and he tells him what kind of car it is. So of course the guy's like, this guy's an ass, so I'm just gonna destroy his car. And then so that's the only part of the movie that I felt was like, okay, this is a little over, you know, because like him destroying the car and then like knocking it over. Remember that scene?
Yeah.
He knocks over the car onto like the ground and everything. That was a great scene. I was like, but wouldn't the cops be called? Like if he's doing shit like this, they would hear that. The people would see that shit and they would call the cops and they would,
you would think.
Yeah. But like the guy that runs the place or whatever is literally just standing there watching all of this happen. And like, well, you know, because I see it like three or four times, you see that guy just sitting in that same spot. And I'm like, why isn't he running to the phone and calling the cops? Somebody is literally stealing your car right now off his lot, you know? So I guess the cops are called because like they start coming after him and stuff and whatever. He like, no, wait, is that? I don't know if it was, yeah, then or whatnot, but he got free and he was able to go to the detail car wash person, sees the girl again with the dick, and he's, you know, well, actually, wait, no, he doesn't see with her, but he goes and sees that she's over with the guy at the, what is it, at the gas station, like the convenience store, right?
Right.
So he robs the convenience store, or goes to rob the convenience store, basically gets her out of there, you know, knocks Zito out, you know, dick out, takes, you know, and then the girl wants to go with them because she likes them.
Yeah.
You know, and so they have a little bit of chemistry and then they go off. so then, the cops are coming after him. Oh, Dale's here. All right. Let's bring Dale on.
When she got in the car with him after the convenience store, I was like, wow, that didn't take long.
Yep.
They like really hit it off.
Well, she really liked him. I think he liked her, but he tried to like hide that shit, you know, because he's cool.
Right.
He's too cool. He can't, you know. So yeah, it was
like the deal with the apple when he was hungry.
Yeah. He's like, you see what my eyes are. I know what your eyes are saying. You're hungry. Here's an apple. Yeah. Like that bit. That was so cute. That was great. Hey, are you in a car?
I am in my car. Yes.
Oh my God. He's in a car doing the,
hey,
you know, right. doing this review about, yep, movies. Nobody's hijacked your car, are they? Yet.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. They might have in the movie, but I think I'm safe so far. So I think we're good.
Nice.
we were just talking about the fact that the two main leads, the guy and the girl, have hit it off pretty fucking well in this.
Oh yeah,
thing.
Oh, they hit it off really, really well, really well,
really quickly. Yeah, like I think from the minute she saw him, she fell in love, and then, you know, and saw a little bit of Well, she could read his eyes. Apparently she knew who he was, you know, from the beginning of it, you know.
Oh yeah.
But we're talking about how she got into the car with them and the cops were chasing, and then they got away, and the apple bit, you know, right? She basically wants to fuck him, but you know, and
he's more interested in eating.
Yeah, at that particular moment. And that was one of my
seeing all that food in bed, that was hilarious.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that in a second, but I really do love that line where he's like walking away from her and he says, what is it? He was like, I gotta eat now. And she was like, a minute, you know, you wanna fuck me. He's like, you know, she says like fuck later or something, you know. Or whatever. And then he was like, that's the point, you know, that's the plan, you know. So, you know,
when they had all the takeout food.
Yes, yes, they did. They were going to have, well, we never saw any of that, did we? Like, they were ordering it, but never.
Oh, they was in the bed. Yeah, they had all kinds of stuff on there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And she gave him the idea to basically, you know, like saying that if it's worth $20,000, there's obviously something worth millions in the car. But yep, they couldn't find it. They couldn't find what later on we find out to be diamonds. You know, the package, you know. And so we're going over the story right now. So so he goes up and he, you know, they go to the pier to basically where she's, where she lives, you know, because she lives on a boat, you know, which I really love that line of later on where he's like, this is a nice place. It's like, yeah, but it doesn't float, you know, or something like that. she likes boats, I guess. That's where she wants to live.
She loves the.
Yeah. Well, she likes the idea of being able to just drift away, you know.
Right.
So anyway, so they go to the pier and she gives them that idea that if they want, you know, more money. So he tries to bribe the guy into giving more money. I think it was like, what, 40,000 was what he originally, and the guy was like, I'm not giving you more money, you know, like I asked for 20,000. I mean, honestly, I think he was a little greedy. Like, he shouldn't have, you know, like he should have just done for the 20,000. You know?
Well, he had a little help from her, though. She kept up in the ante.
Yeah, yeah, she kept.
Yes, she did. That's right. Kept raising the ante up a little.
Yeah, well, she kept trying, and at one point he was like, shh, shh, go away. I'm trying to do business here and stuff." And you're kind of like, she's like the devil in his ear, you know. And so they get the idea. Well, if this guy, because he has their henchmen. What's his name? Robert Zadar coming after him. And so he basically tries to escape and escapes. And it's a really nice car chase. Like, these have some of the best car chases I've seen in indie film, you know?
Yeah.
Like, period. I don't know how much this movie cost, but good God, that was amazing. And what you missed earlier, Dale, was that when I was talking to Stro, I interviewed one of the writers earlier, Ralph Kineski. I interviewed him last night, and he actually gave me some more information about this, which was interesting. One of the things I forgot to tell Stro yet is that they wanted 40 minutes worth of car chases.
Wow.
Yeah. So they had like a 55 page script, and they were thinking, oh, we'll just make the rest into car chases and everything. Mm-hmm. And so they asked Rolf to write and rewrite. And that's where stuff like the banana came into effect. And he was just like, wait a minute, is there something to do with the bike? Because they kept improvising. Michael Madsen kept improvising with the banana, which we'll get into in a second, because that leads up to this situation of they decided to go over to Michael Madsen's house and offer a deal, right? You know, mm-hmm. to basically get, you know, their share of the money. They want 200. She really did up the ante to $200,000, you know?
Yeah, she really did. My goodness.
And so they're in Michael Madsen's house, and Michael Madsen's, why am I going to pay you, you know, for what I already own? You know, like, if it's in Los Angeles, we'll find it, you know, like, you know, or whatever. What do we need you guys for? While eating a banana, you know, what, like, Dale, when you saw the banana, what were you thinking?
Oh, I was just like, oh, what does he really want to do with that banana?
kind of what I thought too. I was like, yep. I wonder if that's trying to say something. Here's the funny thing too. Rolf got so mad about the banana, you know, because that was not written in the script and everything like that.
Oh, wow. Weird.
It was all Michael that he wrote a movie called Death Count that the Hall brothers did. Mm-hmm. Michael Madsen's in it. When you watch it, Michael Madsen's going to be eating a banana. Right?
Oh, man.
Isn't that great? So that's just great. Just wait. God. Just wait. I can't wait for that. I can't wait for that movie. I hope they don't cut that or anything, but I'm sure they won't. As long as they made it, you know, like as many as made point to the movie. And Michael Madsen actually got, so I was telling Stro earlier that Jan Michael Vincent actually got into a car accident right before filming, and that's why he has the scar. Oh. Also, Michael Madsen got into an accident right before Death Count. And I don't know if he has a scar or not, but he didn't look great, you know, because of that. So that's crazy. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Both movies Rolf was connected to. So I feel kind of bad. Like, you know, like bad juju right there. Anyway, what did you think of the characters? Who was your favorite character, Dale?
Oh, man. They were all really interesting. I'm not going to lie. They were all really, really interesting characters. You know, I'd say the lead male was really, really good. Of course, I'm a big fan of Michael Madsen anyways. I thought he did phenomenal. He always does anyways. I don't know. I kind of, the beginning seeing Dom DeLuise, cause I grew up watching him, dude. I swear, just his overall mannerisms in that film. I'd say he was my favorite just because he just, oh my God. I've always loved him anyway.
He hooked me on the film. He hooked me. When I saw Dom DeLuise, like, I'm hooked. I mean, you know?
Yeah, I'd have to say Dom, because I'm a huge fan of his, but just the way he played that character, just, it was great. Oh my
Yes.
I don't know if I knew he was in it or not before I watched it. Usually if I see that he's in a movie, indie film, I usually think he's only in it for like 5 minutes. But he was actually in it for a good while. I mean, even though it might have been 5 minutes, it didn't feel like that. You know, I loved him in it, and I felt bad hearing that they roughed him up, you know, like, I was like, oh, like, that guy's so nice, you know, like, all he wanted to do was help that guy's car, you know, out or whatever. But he was cool. And that was your favorite too, right? Stro.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Hands down.
Dale, what'd you think of Ron Jeremy's cameo?
Oh my God. Anytime you see Ron Jeremy do a cameo, like, I remember seeing him do his role in the Boondock Saints, and I was like, holy shit, it's Ron Jeremy.
You know, in the Boondock Saints, he was playing one of the henchmen, you know, basically. Yeah. This, he was playing the gardener, you know, he's only in it for like 2 seconds. And
but it's still
funny as shit. But I don't, like, the first time I saw it, I did not notice him. You know, it's only the second time I saw, when I rewatched it today, I was like, shit, there he is. Like, okay, that's weird. Because I thought he, like, maybe got cut. His scene got cut or something. Because I imagined that he would be in the scene with Julie Strain, you know? Because they're both sort of, like, in that. I mean, she's not a, I don't think she's a porn star. But she's kind of in that, like, you know, thing. Like, where she does a lot of nudity and a lot of, like, soft core stuff, I think. I don't think she does hardcore. She did hardcore. I might be wrong. But he definitely did hardcore porn.
Yeah, he was the king of porn in his time. King of porn at one time.
Yeah, I'm sad he's in like jail now, but like I've heard really like I've heard he's done terrible things and stuff. So I don't I don't feel too bad, but I'm just saying like I'm so used to him as an actor being in all these kind of shady roles that he does and everything. And so it was fun to see him kind of play like a teeny tiny role in this movie. Just like the Joe Estevez cameo at the end, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but so we get to the scene where he's basically telling him, you know, we know, we have the car, and they're like, yeah, we'll just kill you. You know, we don't need, you know, whatever. And it was like, I'm surprised you're letting your girl go and fuck everybody in town. And it was like, Madsen, man, he scares me, dude. Like, I would not literally, I wouldn't want to mess with that dude for real. You know, like I never got a chance to work with him yet. You know, if I ever do, I'd love to. But he terrified me in that scene a little bit, because he played it so like he was kind of like his character in Reservoir Dogs, you know, right?
Just keep feeding the bananas. It'll be all right. Just keep feeding the bananas.
Next movie, if I ever have him in a movie, I'm giving him a banana, you know.
Oh yeah, you got to.
It's give him bananas. I mean, he did that to himself because he's the one who picked up the banana and started using. Now he's screwed. He's got to have a banana in almost every movie, I think.
Every film, he's got to be holding a banana at some point or doing something with a banana.
So he finds out that somebody, and he doesn't know it's his brother, is fucking his girlfriend or wife. Was it girlfriend, wife? What was it? I don't remember.
I'm trying to remember. I can't either, but it was a girl for
sure.
It was
a girl. And so he's like, and he starts getting all suspicious of her, like no matter what. Like the one dude comes over and says, "Do you want something?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, I want some." He's like, "Why are you ordering people around like that? You know, just read your book, read your magazine." Like, you know, like he's now like thinking, "Oh, is that the guy that she's fucking? You know, who's he?" Yeah, right. And so so he says, "All right, well, give me the name and I'll give you the $200,000 and get my car back and whatever." You know, like I don't think $200,000 is a lot to this guy, you know, especially if the car has the diamonds. He doesn't, you know, he's about to get a lot more money anyway, right? So he's like, "All right, so what?" Oh yeah.
Oh no, no, go. Yeah, you're good.
So he says, so he goes over there and they end up devising the plan and trying to barter between the two, and a bunch of other stuff happens. I mean, it gets into like a craziness, and they think they've got his girl captured, but it's really her friend who's captured. And then the two people have a showdown. It's like a Mexican standoff kind of situation, and then it just sort of ends with them going out, and then they get the diamonds, and at the end that's it. You know, they kind of run off into the sunset. So have you guys ever seen a little movie called True Romance?
Yeah, True Romance, huh?
Oh yes, yeah, you saw that with me.
Right, right.
Yeah. Dale, have you seen it?
Yeah, it's been a while, but I actually have seen it. I just can't remember how long that was ago I watched it, but yeah, I remember watching it.
Well, in that movie, this movie felt very True Romance-y. To me, like it felt, and it was made a couple years after, so I can kind of see a little bit, you know, of the similarities. Mm-hmm. But like instead of like a pimp, it's two different warring gangsters that they have to deal with, and then they have the Mexican standoff at the end, and so there's a little bit, and then they're both fall in love really freaking quick. I'm like surprised they didn't get married that day, you know. Like
after they got the diamonds.
Yeah, after they got the diamonds, they probably got married, you know. But they like fell in love way too quick. The movie basically spanned in like one day, right? You know, or whatever, a couple days maybe.
Yeah.
You know? And so it was a little, you know, it was a little sudden to me, in my opinion, to be able to fall in love that quickly. I'm like, you know, maybe like each other, but Jesus Christ, they just dive right into it.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I guess it makes sense. I can't really show it you know, they have to show the a little bit of a romance and whatnot for these type of things to work. What was your favorite car chase scene? I guess I'll go with Dale first.
Oh my gosh, they were all really good though. I'm trying to think which one it was when he was driving the green, was that a Corvette? He was driving a green Corvette.
I think so.
Yeah. Whenever the guy was behind him, whatever that, I don't know though, because the scenes where he was running from the cops was good, but I think that one right there, that was a really good one.
Which one, like, would you be a little bit more specific if you can? Like, was there anything?
I'm trying to remember. Because I can't remember who was following him when he drove off in the green Corvette from the hotel, is when he got the call that his girl was being tortured, and then whoever was following him in that car, I can't remember who that was.
Yeah, that was Corey.
It was a Corey Haim, Corey Feldman. Yeah,
Corey Feldman.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah. So are you saying that? Okay, my. Okay, wait. Stro, what's your favorite? The car chase scene.
I would have to say that one, and right at the beginning just set the stage for everything, where he's on the Mustang and he's running from the police and everything. And I put the car in front of the road so the police couldn't chase him.
That
was really cool.
I forgot who it was who was chasing him, but I really liked that. What did you guys think of the graveyard chase scene?
Oh my god, that was really good.
Yeah,
it was really good,
because at first I was like, oh my god, they're knocking down graves. Like, obviously it was like a fake, probably like a park that they made it look like a grave. They did a really good job, because unless if that was a real grave, which I don't know, I never found that information out, but that was one of my favorite scenes in the whole thing, because like that scene and then like the little shot that they did above, you know, the car where it goes kind of around the car and everything. Like, I thought, oh man, that was awesome. Like, that was a lot of fun. And so I really dug that. I dug anything like, I think when he was leaving the house, when he first stole that red car, you know, and he's kind of like driving down the, you know, driving really fast, and then he kind of like gets kind of go off the road into the water, you know, and stuff like that was pretty cool. Like, and they show kind of the scenes between interstitching of him going into the the car wash to the guy being washed away in the thing. So I dug that. So there was some really cool ones, like even from the very beginning of them, like, you know, showing off the car stuff. I really dug it all. It was a lot of fun. I guess I'm trying to think of what else. So the director, I forgot to mention, the director was, I can't even say his name real well, so if I butcher it, please forgive me. Director John Sjogren? Sjogren? I don't know. Because I think it seems like it might be a Swedish name, you know? And with the Sjogren.
I think it might be Swedish. I think it might be Swedish, actually.
Yeah, so John Sjogren, and he did amazing. I thought he did a great job. I'd never seen much of his stuff, and I kind of want to see. He did another movie with Chad McQueen called Squanders, and I really want to see that too. It was also called Money to Burn, but that one's got Chad McQueen. Don Swayze, Patrick Swayze's brother, Joe Estevez, you know, Julie Strain, Chuck Zito again, you know, I guess this guy likes to work with, Chad McQueen and Chuck Zito and, Joe Estevez. No Robert Zadar in that one. Weirdly. Mm. That sounds like one that would have Robert Zadar.
Right.
Unless he is.
Unless Robert was, Robert might have been doing something different that time too. That might have been why he wasn't in it.
That's very true. Robert is always busy.
Yeah.
I was just telling Stroh earlier that I've got an Indie Film Cafe this season. We're going to have three already, if not more. I don't know if we'll end up having more, but we'll have three already that are Robert Zadar movies, you know?
Oh, awesome.
I mean, he's done so much that having three in one season is not going to be like us doing his whole like filmography.
you can't even knock that out in one season, as many things as he's been in. It's impressive.
Yes. Heck of a resume. Yes.
I actually, this summer, I was with the stunt team that I occasionally work with, Extreme Force, was down in San Antonio. A film he was on called The Squad, I think. I think that's what it was called. But he was playing one of like the cartel members, like one of the head ones.
Mm-hmm.
Dude is extremely nice in person, and he was very down to earth, but he is really short.
Wait,
really
Robert
short.
Robert Zadar?
Yeah.
I thought he passed away.
No. I'm thinking of, never mind. I got the names wrong. My apologies. Okay. I was thinking, never mind. It wasn't Robert Lissardo. I was thinking of Robert Lissardo. Sorry.
Robert Lissardo. He's been in a lot of stuff.
Sorry about the mix up on the names.
No, it's okay. I was just like, whoa, he passed away in 2015. So if he was still kicking, doing stuff, that would be freaking amazing.
That just goes to show I probably need some sleep tonight.
That's
so
okay.
No, I did not meet him in person this summer because he's already dead.
If you had met him in person, I would have been very, very, very interested in seeing that.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I would wonder if you held a seance to do it, you know.
Yeah, that would have been interesting.
Yeah, he would be, you know, if I'm going to hold a seance, I'm bringing back Robert Zadar and I'm asking him some questions, you know. I'm wondering if people who come back from the dead because of seances, do they ever get mad? Like, you know, like, hey, I was just sleeping here, you know, like you pulled me away. Like, you know, oh Lord. I mean, I'd be mad. I don't know about you guys.
I probably
would. So we talked about earlier about J. Michael Vincent playing like, you know, basically a, you know, a villain. And normally, you know, you see most of the stuff that he's been in, he usually plays good guys or so. He was in The Mechanic and he was in a ton of other films. He's Escape to Grizzly Mountain. I need to watch a lot of these old, you know, movies and stuff because I just have not seen like Jurassic Women. That sounds fun. Body Count.
Wow.
Was a Singapore Sling. I heard of that, and I've heard that is a rough movie to watch or something. So, you know, I don't know. Anyway, Jan Michael Vincent is probably one of those film actors that I just absolutely every time he's on, you know, in a role, he just blows me away, and he did a great job in this. So did you guys like Corey Feldman's little character, like little, you know, little guy you got to play? He's also another guy I think's gonna have some, like him and Joe Esmond. There's gonna be people that are gonna like show up on a movie, you know, movies that we do for Indie Film Cafe all the time because they're just always doing these indie projects, you know. And wonderfully too, like Corey Feldman, anytime he does it, he just does a, you know, fantastic job, and I always love him. So I can't wait to discuss more stuff with them. Let's see. We're about approaching the end of the show and stuff where we give our ratings. Was there anything you guys needed to say? Was there any stories you guys wanted to mention about this movie, like what you enjoyed or whatever? Dale?
Like you were saying, I think the car chases, it was phenomenal the way they got them, especially at the beginning, how it showed from the car's view on the road, just showed the driving and then just the angles and just the impressiveness of the stunt driving of the stunt drivers that were doing. They did a phenomenal job of making it look realistic. So I think the driving scenes were phenomenal. And of course the acting was really decent as well. So I just think the driving part was really cool.
You know what? I'm glad I didn't read any of these reviews. Some people are saying the acting was terrible. I'm like, have you watched indie films? This is pretty damn good. You know,
for low budget indie films, the acting really wasn't that bad. I mean, but you actually have some decent talent in there. I mean,
yeah.
Anytime you've got really low budget indie films, it's hit or miss with the acting. I've seen some indie films that the acting was just god awful, but this one, the acting really wasn't that bad. I mean, it really, really wasn't bad at all.
Mm-mm. You agree, right, Stro?
Oh, absolutely. The acting, the stunt choreography, you know, especially the car chases, were tremendous. And one thing we haven't talked about was how cool the soundtrack was.
Yeah, I agree.
The score was really cool.
Yeah. It really caught you, kept you going, you know? Like, after a while, it kind of blended in well enough where I was just, like, I was on the edge of my seat because of it, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, that's great. The editing was fantastic, you know? Like, there was mm-hmm. no, it wasn't choppy at all.
No.
The cinematography was, I mean, this, for a low-budget independent film, and I'm pretty sure it's low-budget, it's probably on the higher end of the low-budget scale, you know? Because they have to for car chases and stuff. You can't,
no.
You know, and there's, oh my God, there's one scene where in the car chase, and I was going, as a filmmaker, like, I think, like a filmmaker sometimes when I watch the movies, and I'm like, oh my God, how are you gonna block off like a hill like that? Because there is no way that they let, you know, a person go in and out and in and out without somebody being a stunt driver, you know, like on the same street, you know. So that means like everybody who's on the same street are, you know, paid drivers, right? So they have these scenes where the drivers go whoosh, and then people have to honk their horn at the person because the person's, you know, kind of getting into their, you know,
yeah.
And I'm like thinking, this is amazing. Like, mm-hmm. I just got hooked into it, you know, from it. It was a movie I was shocked that I had never heard of to begin with. Mm-hmm. And you had never heard of it, had you, Dale?
No, I never heard of this movie before at all. It was actually kind of cool.
So Stro said in the beginning, Stro goes that he had never heard about this movie before, and that Dom DeLuise was the big thing that just kept him going. So I'm glad Dom DeLuise was in the beginning of the movie. So just hooked everybody like from, you know, the beginning, it seemed.
Oh yeah. You know? Oh yeah.
So all right, we'll get into our rating system. We have what's known as a stinkometer. It is a basically a 1 to 10 scale, 1 being very good and 10 being very stinky and bad. And if you feel like you need to do like a half step, you could do like 5.5 or 6.5 or whatever. So I'm gonna let you guys go first. I really can't wait to hear. Let's go with this. Since Stro was first. Stro, what was your rating on this?
Oh gosh. Well, you said 1 being the highest and 10 being the real stinker,
yeah,
of the score, right?
it's the exact opposite of a normal 1 to 10
yeah,
scale.
I gotcha. Okay. I would have to give it a 3 or 2.
Which one? 3 or 2?
Oh gosh. Decisions.
Or you could do 2.5, either one.
A strong 2.5. Because I thought it was very well done, and there were times that you had to step back and think, is this an indie film? I mean, because it was so good, the story and the whole package.
All right, what about you, Dale?
That's a good one. You know, after weighing everything from the car chases, the acting, Dom DeLuise, I have to throw that in there. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'll have to go with a strong three on that, just because of the fact that, like Stroh was saying, there were times you couldn't, you know, made you question, is this an indie film, because of how well it was done and put together. And the amount of choreography that had to go in for the stunt driving itself was phenomenal, because the way they had to block stuff off and just the way they got the cameras going. And it's just, so yeah, I'd have to stay a really strong three on that.
All right. Well, I'm actually going to go with a two, you know, because it's tough. I was like you, Stroh. I was like, is it a two or is it a three? You know, right? And then is it a 2.5? But I'm like, I can't give it a 2.5. I got to give it a two, man. I have to go with that. So I, you know, but three, a 2.5, and a two are pretty damn good for these kind of movies and stuff. And I honestly, I feel like this movie is one of those films that, you know, A, should be on DVD and Blu-ray, should be available on streaming somewhere. I mean, I don't know if it's because of the rights issues and stuff, maybe, like, who knows who owns the rights to it and things that maybe that's the problem. But I don't know. It needs to be out there more. People should see this movie, honestly. And so I'm very glad to talk about it. Like, I love promoting films that don't get promotion, you know, because nobody knows who they are. And I'm so glad I stumbled onto this movie. And when I did, I was like, I'm bringing Stroh and Dale. I think they will love this movie. Now that means I have to make you guys watch a really bad one later, you know. And I think Dale, I think I was making up for the last one that you were in. The last one that you were in was the black and white one, right? That you did last year.
Don's
Plum. Don's Plum.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that had a big star cast too, even bigger than this one. However, this was a lot better of a movie than that one was, you know.
It was a lot better. It was a lot better than that one.
Yeah.
But that one was very so low budget. I don't think they say they had a script, but I think a lot of it was like, okay, we have a script, but like, we're doing improv, you know.
Yeah.
They would allow Michael Madsen to eat a banana and keep going, you know, with that and everything.
In fact, in that one, they probably would have allowed him to eat a banana in every scene.
I know. He probably would have, you know.
Nice.
He would have been like, well, that's my character. My character would eat bananas every scene he's in. God bless Michael Madsen, you know, for existing and being in movies. Like,
exactly.
He's right. Yeah, I think the guy said, and I mean, I'm not quoting him exactly, I don't think, but Rolf Kanofsky, one of the writers, said that he had said, you know, oh, they wouldn't, you know, oh, so they allowed you to improv on, you know, Reservoir Dogs, didn't they? And he was like, well, that was, we had rehearsals for that one. And, you know, right, this, they didn't have time for rehearsals, so. And that, and, you know, to be honest, we're all actors. We all have acted in films and stuff. We all know, like, when you don't have time for rehearsals and you have to just go and do everything, sometimes it's hard to do it by the book, do it by the script and everything. You got to be able to ask the director. And I'm okay with people asking, hey, can I improv on the scene? Because a little bit, you know, I don't want Dale coming in with a banana. You know, I feel like Stroh would. Stroh would be like, Jacob Parker needs a banana now.
Oh my God.
I'd come in with an apple.
Oh, nice.
Oh my God.
Together we'd be like Fruit of Loom.
Yeah. What's the other one? There's apple, there's a banana. What's the
grapes?
Grapes.
Great.
I'll bring the grapes.
Right.
Oh, that's great.
We gotta do that for a TikTok, you know.
Oh my gosh, yes.
That would be hilarious. You know, all of us are eating, like, you know, a Fruit of the Loom thing. Oh man, this was fun. I really, really enjoyed. It was fun because this was a fun movie. You know, like this was actually a good damn good indie film, and so it's probably going to get a pretty. I mean, it's getting a pretty low score on it, so it might be one of the lowest scores that we have this year. You know, nice. I hope. Because I kind of hope a lot of it's bad scores. We love the higher scores, because that means that these movies are pretty terrible. And generally speaking, I don't want to put nothing but terrible movies on there, but I want a lot, you know, because, you know, those are fun as well, you know.
Oh yeah, they are. They're really fun when you really bad one. They're a lot of fun to talk about them.
Yeah, especially if you're like with your group of your friends and you're just like hanging out, and for you guys would be drinking. For me, it's, you know, I can't speak for you guys, but I know I wouldn't be drinking, you know, when doing that. But I do love to watch these movies because I don't need to be drunk. Sometimes the movies make me drunk, you know, with just laughing and, you know, like.
Oh, yeah. Know that feeling too.
Yeah, right?
Oh, I do.
You see those movies. You know,
laughing so hard where you start to like get lightheaded, red in the face, and feel like you're about to pass out. Yeah, I've been there many a times.
Yeah. just talk to Paul. He's got a million of those. That'll make you laugh so hard you're like, you know, going crazy. And I hope the season, because this is the second episode of the season, so this is kind of the kickoff, you know. And as I said, I kind of want to have a kickoff be, you know, sort of easy to, you know, kind of get everybody kind of eased in. And then we're going to wham, we're going to get people like, we're going to start getting some bad movies and stuff in there, you know, some 30s, man. When we get 30s, you know, it's tough, man. You guys haven't, you guys both, I don't think have seen I don't think. Stro, you haven't seen a 30 with us yet, have you? You haven't watched.
I don't think I have. No.
You need to come to the studio, dude. You like live like close by. You need to come over and hang with us. And...
I'd love to. Yes. That'd be great. Yeah.
We'll have you do that. And Dale, why don't you move to like this area? You know, the East Coast, man. Come on.
You know, man, if it weren't for my kids that live in my ex in Oklahoma and then my girlfriend now, I would, dude. Believe me. I would.
I know. If you were like a bachelor with no kids, you would, you know. You would do
it. Oh, totally. I'd go back and forth all the damn time, believe me, you know.
Yeah. So speaking of which, let's go with the Stro. First off, what have you been up to lately?
Oh, well, the movie that just came out that in the feature, The Devil's Daughter, Harlequin Story, has been winning awards right and left. Oh gosh, like I think they've won like 10 or 11 awards thus far from different indie film festivals. Myself and the lead actress Fennell Gobbold got nominated for best actor and actress for the Canaries Film Festival in France, I think. Nice. Based out of France. And she ended up winning actually the female lead for that. And it's still winning awards right and left. Nice. So it's doing really good. It's available now on YouTube and Amazon Fire through Dominus TV. Check out Amazon Fire TV as well. So yeah, I'm just happy it's doing good. I got my year end podcast with wrestling fans out there this Thursday, tomorrow. Nice. WCW Retro on viewersnation.com, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I've been doing my horror sci-fi show every Friday night, the Stro Zone. And this Friday night, New Year's Eve night, the feature is going to be Phantom from Space.
Sadly, this will be out after that, but it's okay. Maybe they
can. Yeah. It'll still be on Facebook. You can check it out there.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/StroTheMaestro, my official Facebook page. But the Devil's Daughter is doing great. I'm gonna do a new film coming out called Hybrid.
Sweet.
That'll be out soon too.
Look at you, look how busy you are.
And I got a horror film coming out also pretty soon called Stench of Iniquity, where I portray an ancient vampire named Abba in the film.
Nice.
It has a lot, and this film has a lot of creep show vibes.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Man.
So just be look out for, it's called Stench of Iniquity. And they have their own Facebook page for updates, but it's based off a book, actually, and it should be out pretty soon.
Awesome, dude. You're killing it. That's great. I love that.
You know. Try.
All right. What about you, Dale?
Oh, let's see. We still got to do more filming on that the Joneses series, which will sometime later next year will be on Amazon Prime. And that's that comedy series about the family, the Joneses. I play one of the leads in that one. And it's actually nice. Kind of, it takes a twist. Like they kind of do like Modern Family to where the actors actually, they have the regular scenes. And then it shows like off to the side, like cuts to it. And it's like the actors talking to the camera, like interview style. But it's a lot of funniness, a lot of drama, just a lot of cool stuff with that one. So be on the lookout for that. And then I have been cast in this. It's not because of copyright reasons. They couldn't base it off the show Supernatural, but I have people that I know are starting this series called Lineage, which is kind of in the same world, but different, obviously, because they couldn't use anything from that show because of copyright reasons, right. But kind of like it has like hunters and monsters in it and stuff. Not sure where that's going to come out to yet. They just got done shooting the stuff for the teaser trailer that they're trying to get the funding for. Then there is some stuff next year that I'm in cast in. One is a big feature called Detour 95. That's, I believe, going to be a SAG film.
Oh, wow.
All right.
That's got Danny Trejo's in it and a few other people. And then another comedy slasher flick called STZ. It's a zombie slasher flick. That's a feature film. Both of those will be either in theaters later next year or in 2023.
Yeah. And wow. That's amazing.
So yeah, stuff's coming up. And then I've just been doing like, you know, I was in a Express Professionals commercial where I was apparently seen by like over 100 people locally, which was kind of cool. And, right. So just been besides working, and then I'm now working at my friend's vehicle wrap shop doing vehicle wraps. So just been keeping pretty busy so far.
Awesome.
Sounds like it. Yeah. Like that's great, dude. I'm excited for both of you guys. You guys both have a lot going on right now and a lot of different stuff, you know, which is great. And I'm glad, Stro, you mentioned your podcast. Is it going to still be happening next year?
Yes. Every Thursday at 9.
Every Thursday at 9.
Awesome. Yeah.
Nice. So there cool. You go. So if anybody wants to check that out, how can they check that out?
Just go to VOC Nation, V as in Victor, OCNation.com, and just look for WCW Retro.
Awesome. And cool. Dale, do you do anything? Do you do any podcasts or any kind of stuff other than the stuff with me?
I haven't yet. I need to look and eventually trying to do a podcast. I need to eventually, well, I've got a couple people staying with me right now. So my apartment's completely cramped, but I need to eventually set up a home studio at some point. I just need to learn how to do it, but I'd love to eventually do a podcast on something. That'd be kind of neat. I would think just eventually.
It's funny because like Zoom has given everybody the opportunity to do stuff like this, you know, so like I can have you guys on here or I could do it at the studio where we have, you've both been to the studio. So you guys know about it, but you know, we have all that going. It's just really harder to get people to actually go to the studio because just, especially with COVID, you know, it's really like a lot of people don't want to hang out and do stuff. You know, they'd rather do this. And so this has been very, very helpful. And at first I was almost going to try to not to do almost any Zoom, but then we just started realizing how hard it is. So we're just like, you know what, we're going to definitely do Zoom for like a lot for different, you know, for, you know, at least me for sure, you know, and everything. So, but thank you guys so much. This is awesome. And I'm glad you guys really enjoyed it. Everybody go check it out. I'm going to leave a link at the bottom of the thing for, you know, when I post this, they'll actually have the link to the YouTube so people can check it out. Like, I'll let you guys check it out and everything. Hopefully that doesn't get taken down, you know, because sometimes that happens, you know. But I don't see why it would, because like not that many, you know, not enough people, I don't think, would check it out unless the show blows up and then everybody checks it out and then holy crap, you know. But we'll see. But anyway, everybody, check out indiefilmcafe.reviews, indiefilmcafe.podbean.com, and patreon.com/indiefilmcafe. We're also on YouTube. Do you guys have websites at all you guys want to plug?
Yep. You go first, Dale.
Okay. I don't have any personal websites, but I have my IMDb like usual, which is it's Dale Niehaus on there. And then just my social media links, you know, on Facebook, I'm Dale A. Niehaus. And then on Instagram, still go by Helping Others Is the Greatest. So that's currently what I have right now. I actually need to eventually create a personal website. I just never even thought about it. But.
All right. What about you, Stro?
I'm Rob Kellum on Facebook. Also on Twitter at the Stro, THESTRO. Just look for me, Rob Kellum, on IMDb. And my official website, thestro.com, THESTRO.com. Check it out. It's got all my links on my social media there as well. And I'm on YouTube. Just Stro Maestro on YouTube.
Awesome. By the way, Dale, I got to apologize. I think I called you Dale Niehaus. I think I keep doing that for some reason.
It's all right. It's close enough. I mean, it's Niehaus, but Niehaus is close enough. But trust me, I'm not offended.
I didn't think you would be. I just want to make sure I threw that out there because I did realize I just said that. So I'm like, But
it's okay.
All right. Well, you guys stick around. Everybody else, thank you guys for checking us out. Join us next week where Paul will have a episode. And I can't wait for you guys to check that one out. And everybody, thank you guys. Have a good one. Bye.